Hey, this is Travis Bennett, the pastor here at Arena of Life Church, and I just want to welcome you to our podcast. I pray this builds your faith, encourages you, and brings you to newer levels in Christ. Enjoy the message. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 3. Stand for the reading of the word today. And if you lean in today, I believe God has a word for you. As I begin to study this, I just felt in my heart that there's people I know in this room that need this word. It's heavy, but it's for us. Verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. How many of y'all want to see God? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say a manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. God, we thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. God, I lift up that person in the room today, that one that may have gotten the bad report this week from the doctor, from the lawyer, from the neighbor. I lift up that one who's maybe going through separation of some kind from an ex-spouse or a child. I lift up that person to you that maybe experienced loss, that it's been completely cut off through the death of someone or hurt of any kind. God, I pray that today, Lord, that you would minister. Thank you for your anointing that breaks the yokes and bondages of sin, but Lord, your anointing that brings comfort, peace, direction, guidance. And your presence is fullness of joy. Lord, minister to us today. Do what only you can do. We invite you in the room. In Jesus' name, bring hope. And everybody said, amen, 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 amen. Well, you may be seated this morning. I'm going to continue in this series. I want to make sure I have enough time because I believe people need to be ministered to at the end of this service. But we're going to continue on this series, the Beatitudes. Everybody say Beatitudes. I hope you got that right because I spelled it wrong there on purpose because there's an attitude in America today, and there's an attitude amongst Christians. I'm going to tell you what my granny told me. If you don't get your attitude right, somebody's going to put a pop knot on your head, right? Or I'm going to kick your butt up between your two shoulders. How many of y'all know we need to get our attitudes right in the house of God? And so there's some challenging statements here in the first couple of verses before he preaches an amazing Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. There's some great stuff that we see and we live by, do we not? In Matthew 5, 6, and 7, he's preaching pretty much the Constitution or the Bill of Rights of the Kingdom of God. And it's countercultural to not only the church of today, but also the world. Of all of these things, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Nobody wants to be poor. Nobody wants to mourn. Nobody. And I mean, nobody wants to be meek. You be here next week. I'm excited to teach that on meekness there. But I believe this. I'm praying for it. I'm believing. I want you to get in agreement with me. I'm praying for a revival and a great awakening and a great shaking in this nation. Not only here, not only in this church, but in churches throughout America, churches throughout the world. I believe God's still on the throne, and I believe in the last days, he said, I will pour my spirit out on all flesh. And I don't know about you, but I believe we serve a God that does signs, wonders, and miracles. He not only did them in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but I believe he does them today in November of 2021. Amen? Who believes that today? Amen? He still does it today. And so we need revival, and God works in the church. The Bible says this, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I said it Thursday night, and I will say it again, separation of church and state, that was to keep the church, or keep the state out of the church, but the church should be the loudest voice inside the state. Can I get an amen? Because how many of y'all know, since we live by the constitution of this, we ought to be the loudest voice, we ought to be doing something in our communities of living what God has done on the inside of us. But what I see about the Beatitudes, and as I read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and even as he's preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, the Bible says this, that there was a multitude of people that were drawn to Jesus. The Bible says he will draw all men unto him. And so people were not only drawn to him, but I believe they were drawn to his personality. And the Bible tells us in Corinthians, if you just hook up to the Lord, you will go from glory to glory. Romans says you'll go from faith to faith. And I don't know about you, but I'm not done with my walk with Christ. I want more. Come on, who wants more? I want more. I want more of what God has in store for me. And so while I say personality, I believe Jesus had an attitude about him. And I want to remind all of you, the Bible talks about there's five gifts. It talks about the apostle. It talks about the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. I want to tell each and every one of you, I'm not just the evangelist. Pastor Michelle's not just the evangelist. Pastor Robert's not the evangelist. If you're sitting in that chair right there, God has called you to be an evangelist. Can I say that again? God's called you to be an evangelist. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That is a commission to you and me, not just to preachers, not just to teachers, not just to an evangelist, not just to apostles. God has called you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And here's the deal, and I deal with, we ought to, if people are going to be drawn to us and Jesus on the inside of us, you've got to have a good attitude. You've got to have a good attitude. If you look like you got poopy pants and a big chip on your shoulder, nobody is attracted to that. Nobody's attracted to a know-it-all. Thou saith the Lord, nobody's attracted to a know-it-all. And so when you have a smile on your face and you have something going on, even in the midst of adversity in a world that's gone mad, even in a pandemic, when you're smiling at Walmart, I promise you people are going to be attracted to that. And so when I'm talking about attitudes, I think about this. There's been times where people's come to me and said, I know, or I've gone to other people and say, I know you're going through something difficult, but I wish you could have the same peace and the same joy that I have. And there's times where they said, how can I have it? The door is open. Let's kick it wide open. Amen? It's because of Jesus. Come on, it's because of Jesus. How many of y'all believe that this morning? It's because of Jesus. But last week, we looked at these Beatitudes, and we saw two things, just to recap real quick. He says, blessed, and then it's followed by, when you do the thing, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those that mourn, blessed are those the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, peacemakers, and so on and so forth. He said that it's followed by, for they shall have. That word blessed, maybe your translation says happy, which comes from the Greek word hap, which means this, when the happenings are right, you're happy. So that's a bad translation. Because how many of y'all know the joy of the Lord is your strength, right? And even in the midst of circumstances, happiness can come and go. When your team's winning, you're happy. When your wife's happy with you, you're happy. When your kids have their head screwed on right, you're happy. But how many of you know happiness can go out the window through circumstances, right? Joy never goes away. I'm going to say that again. Joy never goes away. You can have joy even when somebody persecutes you. You can have joy even when it's easy for you to be offended. You can still have joy. Unspeakable, and the Bible says full of glory. And so it's, and what's crazy is he says, blessed, you will be abundant in your life and full of joy. In the craziest places that we think so many times that they're in the boat, they're in the motorcycle, they're in the house, they're in all these other things. But what he's saying is, blessed are the meek, right? Blessed are those that mourn, which is a heavy, heavy word today. But you can find blessing in all of those places. And so, and then he says, for they shall have. So there is more to being a Christian than just salvation. How many of y'all know we can have all these things? You can have the kingdom of heaven in your life. How many of y'all know we should be living the kingdom of heaven in our life rather than hell on earth in our lifetime? Amen? He has more for you. He not only wants to heal your body, he wants to heal your marriage. He wants you to, with long life, satisfy you and show you a salvation. But so many people give their life to the Lord, and that's all they do. I'm telling you, there's more. If you tap into the Word of God, there's more. If you get in His presence, there's more. If you begin to pray, I'm telling you, there's more. God has more for you than you're trying to get. And so, for they shall have, and I love that text. But today I want to talk about poor in spirit. I want to talk about those who mourn. Last week we talked about those who are poor in spirit. There's two Greek words for poor: not having enough and totally destitute. If you didn't listen to, or you weren't here last week, I want you to go back in the archive because it's very important. That sets up all of them. If you don't have that, if you don't realize that you're completely destitute without the Lord, we're absolutely nothing without God. And sometimes we need to come back, especially in this week of Thanksgiving, let's come to a back to a place of, God, if it wasn't for you, I'd have absolutely nothing. And when we come back to that heart of Thanksgiving, I'm telling you that you're opening the door for great blessings to be poured into your life. But today, blessed are those that mourn. Matthew 5:4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Passion Translation says it like this: what delight comes to you when you wait upon the Lord? For you will find what you long for. Amplified Classic says, blessed and enviably blessed or happy with a happiness produced by the experience of God's favor and especially conditioned by the revelation of His matchless grace are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, this makes no sense. He's saying happy are the sad. How does this work? This word mourn here is really to grieve. How many of y'all have ever grieved before? All right? So what he's saying is God shows up in unique ways to people who are going through struggles in their life. If you're going through a struggle this morning, or you've been going through a struggle for some time now, I need you to lean in because I believe God has something big for you today. There's a part of God that is life-changing even in the roughest of moments. How many of y'all believe there is joy even in difficult moments because we will experience the provision, the purpose, and the presence of God? And I'm telling you, you can tell the mature from the immature believer that no matter what's going on, they stick to this, that God is faithful, that God is true. Good things come from God. Bad things come from the enemy. And so thinking about a bad day, I was the other night, we were reminiscing. Pastor Luann has a niece in, so that should be our cousin. We were telling this story about one night us and the Busbys stayed the night in Santa Rosa, New Mexico. And we had cattle that we were shipping at Mountain Air the next morning that we had had out on grass. And me, Pastor, and Cody had partnered on these cattle. And that morning we were cutting across through Vaughn. And as we're going down the road there, it's just, I mean, the sun's barely coming up. I see headlights sticking straight up in the air. And we go back, and then we come back, and we pull over on the side of the road, and as we pull over, there's this man. It's like from a scary movie. He's crawling up to the top of it. Well, he had rolled his van, and it went down to the bottom of it. It's probably 20, 25 foot down there, and his headlights were sticking straight up, and he crawled to the top of it. And this man was, he was like this, not very much, because he had a compound fracture right here, and his arm was just dangling. You remember this, Addison? I know you do. And he had a gash in the top of his forehead, and I mean his face, I mean it was like a scene from Deliverance. He covered in blood, and you could tell that his ankle was broke on this side, and with one arm, he crawled to the top of the road. And so we get out. He said, I want to sit down. So we sit him down on the guardrail on the side there, the part that was still there, the one he didn't take out. And blood is everywhere. And I said, sir, I'm going to begin to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. And I went through Mark 16. Believers can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I said, we've called 911, but we're going to stay here with you till they get here. It was us and our kids are with us. Creed and Addison were just little kids. And I laid my hands on him. He just goes to, he goes to screaming. It freaked me out. And he goes to stand. I mean, he is squirting blood everywhere. I had blood all over me. And anyways, he says, could you do me a big favor? I said, yeah. I said, the ambulance will be here any minute. He said, will you go down to my van and get my cigarettes? I said, well, I mean, he hadn't died from this. He ain't going to die from cancer. You know what I mean? You know, might as well go get him a cigarette. And so I go down, and they're still stuck in the dash. Like, this van is mangled, and the door's open. I don't know how. And his cigarettes are stuck right there. So I climb to the bottom. I grab his cigarettes. I come up. As soon as I stick it into his mouth, blood, went into that cigarette and went halfway down it. That's how much blood is coming. So I put it inside of his mouth, and he says, do you have a light? I went, no. He goes, this is what he says. My day just got worse. I'm thinking, if that made your day worse. I remember lighting that cigarette, and he smoked it all past the blood and everything. Just goes to sucking it down. I mean, surely it tasted funky. I don't know. I've never smoked one, but... And I was watching him, and the ambulance came, and we prayed for him. And in fact, we went and shipped cattle, and we came back. We stopped by Vaughn Hospital, and he made it. He's alive. He's doing great. But here's the deal. I just wanted to bring that up. When you're having a bad day, how many of y'all know it could be worse? Like, not have a lighter? I had to hear y'all laugh, because there's not much laughing moments in this sermon today. But how many of y'all have ever, if you're going through something difficult, I want you to lean in today, and it may be worse than you not having a lighter, but whatever. You can be encouraged by the joy and peace of God. Amen? How many of y'all believe you can be encouraged by the joy and the peace of God? The Bible says this in Psalms 30 and verse 5, weeping may come through the night, but joy comes in the morning, right? Even through the roughest of moments, you can rely on the joy of the Lord, that he never leaves you and he never forsakes you. He's the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. Absolutely. The Bible tells us in Psalm 16:11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. He will not only show you the path of life. How many of y'all know life is hard? Life is not easy. I had somebody in my office this last week that was just talking to me about some things that they were going through, blubbering. They said, what do you think, Pastor? I said, I think that's life. That's a Wednesday for me. But it depends. The difference between me and her is I have a strong relationship with the Lord. She doesn't. And if you have a strong relationship with the Lord, I'm telling you, when life throws you curveballs, you can still have the peace and the joy of the Lord on the inside of you. In Psalm 63 and verse 3, it says, because your loving kindness is better than life. I think about the song when I was a kid. Your loving kindness is better than life. And then it goes, my lips shall praise you. It's so important that we praise the Lord even in the midst of adversity. But isn't that something? Think about it. His loving kindness is better than life. Your life sometimes, how many of y'all know, just life sucks sometimes. It's hard, but his loving kindness is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It changes not for us. Amen? Now, your neighbors might change. Your grandmama's grandmama, their love for you might change, but God's never does. And I want to, before I go any further into this, I say this all the time, but it's very important that you get revelation of this. John 10 and verse 10, he's talking about the thief. And he says, the thief comes, and that word thief is kleptos. It's where we get kleptomaniac, a person who does nothing but steal. I'm telling you, the devil, that's all he knows. That's all he is. It says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The reason I'm telling you that, every good and perfect gift, James 1:17, comes from above. Every good gift comes from God. In fact, God comes to give life and life more abundantly. But think about it. The devil comes, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. How many of y'all know you can have your house, and you've watched 2020, you've watched the shows, you can have your house locked down like Fort Knox, but if somebody wants in there, they'll do everything they can to get in. And can I tell you, I've been in situations in my life where I've had no doors open, I've had no cracks open, but the devil's done everything that he can. But can I tell you again, still in my own personal life, no weapon that is forged against me will prosper. I don't care what financial thing it is. I don't know what kind of care what kind of relationship thing that it is. I'm telling you, even in the hardest of moments where he's kicked the door down, where he has no legal right, no authority, by the blood of Jesus, he cannot cross that line. He's still done everything that he can to take the wind out of my sails. But I'm telling you one thing that he can't take away from me, he can't take away the peace of God. He can't take away the joy of the Lord. He can't take away his provision, his correctness to me, all the things that come from Psalm 23, because he is Jehovah Rohi. No matter what goes on, he is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I hope you're getting revelation of that this morning. And so there's three myths talking about grief and things of times of mourning that I believe all of us, not only as believers, but as people in humanity, that we grab a hold of. Number one is this, write this down. We think bad things shouldn't happen to good people. We think bad things shouldn't happen to good people. And I agree. But how many of y'all know this is not the case? Timothy Keller, he writes a book, The Reason for God. I want to encourage you to read it. But all throughout even the Word of God, there is good people that went through bad things. Right? And lots of times we think this, God, you owe it to me. I'm a tither, I'm a giver. Every time the church doors are open, I'm in the house of God. I'm close to the pastor, I do all these things. I remember when we were wanting to have kids. Y'all know the story of Pastor Brandy and myself. I thought to myself after the first miscarriage, and then particularly after the second miscarriage, I thought to myself, God, you owe it to me. I've never missed tithing. I've never missed out on an opportunity to give inside the offering. There's a difference between the two. And so I've served. I've been a youth pastor, God. I've led lots of kids to you. I've laid hands on the sick as you've told me to do. I've seen miracles, signs, and wonders. This is the least you could give me. How many of y'all ever felt like that before? This is the least you could give me was healing. This is the least you could give me is my kid come back to the, you know, sanity. This is the least you could give me that my, you know, my husband would stop acting crazy. This is the least of the things that you could give me. How many of y'all have ever felt that way? Am I the only one who's felt that way? I thought to myself, God, you give crackheads on the boulevard that are hiring a Georgia pine tree, baby, but you won't give me who serves the Lord? Come on, I'm being real with y'all this morning. I've been there before. God, you owe it to me. And I want to just remind you of a text in Hebrews chapter 11. And we know, love Hebrews 11, it's a faith chapter. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And all throughout Hebrews 11 is this hall of fame of Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses. But look in verse 35, if you would, with me. He says, women received their dead raised to life again. But listen to this. And others... the ones who didn't make the mark on Hebrews 11, but were men and women of God, were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yeah, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Verse 38. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Verse 39, pay attention. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Maybe not the promise of God, but the promise that they thought for themselves here on this earth. Verse 40, God having provided some better thing for us. How many of y'all know God has something better? How many of y'all know God has something better? I'm going to tell you right now, even in the midst, if you get stoned, sawn asunder, we're tempted in many ways, I'm telling you, God always has something better. You need to have it inside of your mindset that God has something better for you and God has something better for me. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 18, I believe this is one of the last remarks as Paul is writing to his young leader here, Timothy. And this might be one of the last words. In fact, as I studied this, this could have been some of the last writings that Paul wrote. But he said, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. Well, Pastor, let me ask you this. Will he deliver me or will he preserve me? And here's the answer. Yes. Amen. How many of you know he will deliver you and he will preserve you? He'll do both. Well, which one will he do? Listen, both of them, he'll do it for you. There's a maturity when you begin to understand this, because I'll say it again, God is a faithful God. Sabrina, is God a faithful God? Come on, let me ask somebody. Gabe, is God a faithful God? God is a faithful God. Here's the second thing, another myth. We think pain is always something wrong. Don't we? It's something wrong. How many of you know the Bible says, be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. He's saying, be angry. Here's the thing, too much anger is a bad thing. And if you don't deal with anger, it becomes a problem. How many of y'all know water's a good thing, but too much water brings damage? Electricity, just a little bit of it, is beneficial to you and I, but too much of it ruins things. Are you getting me this morning? Sometimes pain, even in your body, will bring you to the realization that you need to do something about it. Amen? Come on, I'm just being real with you this morning. And lots of times in our walk with Christ, we think pain is always something wrong. Look at James. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 4. This famous passage of text we all know. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Nobody's ever happy about temptations, but at least he tells us to be. Count it all joy when you, let me say it happy. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Count it all joy when the lawyer called. Count it all joy when the doctor called. Count it all joy when she left. Amen? Knowing this, or some people really do count that joy. I shouldn't have used that as an example. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Isn't that a great passage of text? Isn't it something we need to lean on? See, as I read that, let patience have her perfect work, that ye might be perfect and entire. You know what God's more concerned with? God's more concerned with your character than he is with your comfort. You know where we're at today in 2021? We have a generation of kids that don't know what it's like to experience pain because everything has been given to them freely. How many of y'all know when you do without, it makes you a better person? Amen? Come on, from the grandmas, I ought to get an amen out there. But we have a generation of kids that want everything that's given to them. Stimulus checks. Hello, somebody. $3 trillion more. Or I'll say it like him. $1 trillion, $1 trillion, $1 trillion. Come on. Is this making us better? No, it's making us worse. I'm just going to be honest. It may help you, but I'm telling you, it's not helping us as a whole. At all. We have a generation where you get a trophy for every little thing, and I'm telling you, that's bad. You're going to lose in life. But what losing does is puts character in you to want to win. Amen? And so I'm just trying to point something out. We think pain is always something wrong. I'm telling you, sometimes pain makes you, how many of y'all believe this? There's some of you out there that you never prayed, but there was some pain that you went through that you got close to God. Thank God you went with you what you went through so you could have the relationship you have with the Lord today. Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. 1 Peter 1:6-7. He says, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. That's comforting, isn't it? These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Through your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Isn't that encouraging? Come on, write that down and get that in your heart. You know, I've dealt with many people, and there's many funerals that I've preached that I just didn't understand. In fact, one particular moment in my own personal life, I'll never forget the day that my mother called me and told me that my cousin Randall had died. Very close cousin to me. But I remember being on the phone inside my kitchen at 1408 Southwest 62nd Street and just falling to my knees of no, no, no. Being with him just hours before it happened, like, this is not right. You know, there's six stages of what happens in grief. And the first one is shock, right? And then you go from complete shock to sorrow. And can I tell you, there's nothing wrong with sorrow. The Bible tells us this about Jesus. He was a man of sorrows, right? The grief of many. And so, but what is problem, I believe there's a healthy sorrow, but there's an unhealthy sorrow. And if you go from shock to sorrow and just stay in sorrow, that's a bad place to be. If it's been 3 years, it's time to move on. Amen? And then you go to the struggle, and where you go from sorrow to struggle is you struggle with God, you did this. Or if I would have done this, this wouldn't have happened. You go through all this shame, the struggle of shame. And that's not a good place to be. But then from there, we go to what's the best place is surrender. I love it that we sang this morning, you keep hope alive. See, the only hope you have is surrender to Him. Amen? And then you go to a process of sanctification. I'm not telling you anything you guys don't know if you study this out. So this is what they'll tell you. Sanctification. But the last part of grief is this, is service. It's where the mourner now comes the comforter and shares it with somebody else. Listen, if I got through this, you can get through this. Here's the third thing. We always think we know what's best. I didn't hear a good enough amen with that one. How many of y'all believe we always think we know what's best? Like, here's a perfect example. Those of you that maybe have gone to your 20, 30, and 40, 50 class reunion, any 50 class reunion, and there's maybe that guy or that girl there that you thought that she was the one or he was the one. And then when you go to that class reunion, you say, thank God they weren't the one. You know what I'm saying? It's like, please, God, have him look my way. Have her look my way. And now you're like, thank God she didn't look my way. And I don't want her looking my way now today. Come on, somebody. Or that car that you felt like you had to have. You know what I'm saying? That car that, and then once you got, I believe this is God's plan for me to have this $675 payment a month. I mean, there's some people who can afford that, but here's the deal. Not a lot of people can. We got a car salesman over here. I'll get past this real quick, all right? Or finance guy, anyway. But how many of y'all know it's in month three where you have a bad month there, and you're rethinking, wow. This was stupid, but I really thought this was best. Can I remind you of this in Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9? It says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. You know, there's been many times where I've preached funerals that I don't understand why this person died or this person went. At Pastor Ronnie Trice's funeral, there was Danny Johnson got up there, and he shared a scripture that I'd never seen before, but it opened my eyes to see. It says in Isaiah 57 and verse 1, it says, and I believe this will bring comfort to some of you out there. It says in the New Living Testament, it says, good people pass away. The godly often die before their time, but no one seems to care or wonder why. No one seems to understand that God is protecting them from the evil to come. Means this, God didn't cause it. He knows there's his thoughts are higher than our thoughts and his ways are higher than our ways. Come on, do you get that this morning? I want to give you encouragement. I want to say it again, James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Every good and perfect gift. Like, we may not understand it, and it may not have been the way that we thought it would be done, but every good and perfect gift comes from God. Psalms 34:18 says, "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such that have a contrite spirit." So here's the deal. John, if you want to go ahead and come and play, and I believe God wants to minister to some people today. How can we go from mourning to being comforted? How can we go from mourning to being comforted? Please go with me in your Bible, just real quick. 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Now this is the practical side. We're going to go from mourning to being comforted. Verse 3, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." The God of all comfort. How many of y'all believe we serve the God of all comfort? "Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble," in any trouble, "by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." Verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Verse 8. "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Verse 9. "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from such a great death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." Verse 11. "Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf." So how do we go? I see something in the scripture here. How do we go from mourning to being comforted? Here's the first thing. Write it down. Verse 9 says, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead." Here's the first one. You ready? Focus on what's happening in me, not to me. Come on, if you got that bad report, if you got that thing that you're holding on to, that grief of some kind, you need to focus on this. It's not happening to me, but what is happening on the inside of me? What is God preparing me for? What is God elevating me to? I'm going from glory to glory. I'm going from faith to faith. It's not happening in me. It's what's happening in me, not what's happening to me. I'm not the victim. Come on, Christ already paid the price. Here's the second thing. Verse 10, we read this: "Who delivered us from such a great death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." So number one, focus on what's happening in me, not to me. Number two, God always delivers. The best predictor of God's present help is his past faithfulness. Say that again. The best predictor of God's present help is his past faithfulness. Come on, you've watched the Netflix shows till 2 o'clock in the morning where it stops on a particular episode and you look at your wife and say, "We gotta see what happens." And then they leave you with a cliffhanger again and you say, "Oh my gosh, we got to see what happens." And then they leave you with a cliffhanger again. Is he gonna die? Is she gonna live? And then you watch the next episode, they don't die. They keep living. And then it's a cliffhanger, and you ask yourself the question again. I want to tell you, in your life right now, am I going to die, or am I going to live? Are they going to come back, or what's going to happen? I want to tell you this morning, God always delivers. Just put another DVD in. Just get to the next episode, because God will see you through. Amen? And I can say that with sheer confidence this morning, because he's always delivered me, and he's always seen me through. In fact, I just a little bit of encouragement in the day and time we live in. I've read the end of the book, and it says in Revelations 21, all right? This is the end of all the episodes. Verse 3, And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things that are passed away. Woo! It's a good God. Here's the third one. It says in verse 11, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. So when God does it in you, he not only does it in you, he does it in everyone. He does it in your family. It's a testimony that reaches many. So here's the last one. You've got to have solid relationships. Thank God for the church. Thank God for the church. I thank God. I thank God for people like John, who sends me messages, text messages, say, Pastor, I just wanted to let you know that I'm praying for you and that I'm thinking about you. How many of y'all know those texts come at the right moment, at the right time, at the right place? I want to tell you, I couldn't make it without Pastor Shannon. Couldn't make it without Pastor Michelle. I couldn't make it without Pastor Robert. I couldn't make it without you guys in here, the Church of the Living God. I'm telling you, I need people in my life that's going to build me up, that makes me stronger, that makes me better, that makes me run the race. And I'm here to tell you this morning, I believe there's an anointing in the room today. If you would stand to your feet. I believe there's an anointing in here that if you're in that place of struggle, if you're in that place that you don't understand, you need to realize this. There's something happening in me. It's not happening to me. You need to realize that God delivers you. You need to realize what God's doing in you, it's not only going to affect you, it's affect the people that's around you. Come on. Blessed are those who mourn. It's not, listen, you're not crazy to mourn, because you're opening the door for the comforter to come right in. Here's the deal. There's lots of you in this room. You shut the door to the comforter. Let's open it up. He'll give you joy and peace that you can't ever explain. Amen. Thanks for joining us. We want to thank all of you who give to our ministries here at AOL Church. It's because of you that all of this is possible. You can give now by clicking the link below. And if you haven't already, subscribe and share this message. It helps us reach more people and share the gospel through you. Be sure to stay connected to us through our Church Center app, our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, and follow us on social media like Facebook and Instagram. May the Lord bless you and keep you. His face shine upon you, be gracious to you, and give you peace. Thanks again for listening. Go and make a difference today.